Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at wliw.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. And each show is also archived on my website at annliguori.com and distributed on my podcast via Audioboom and iTunes. Well, this past week has been the week of media golf events at various venues in preparation for several very significant golf championships and tournaments in our area, meaning New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. I feel like I've been on the golf tour. It's been a lot of fun. But first I drove up, took the ferry from Orient Point to Connecticut, and then drove up to Boston from there up to Brookline, Massachusetts, to Brookline Country Club, the country club, where I haven't been since I covered the 1999 Ryder Cup that the Americans recaptured from the Europeans when Justin Leonard halved his match with Jose Maria Olazabal. And you remember that one, I'm sure, right? I mean, it was, the celebration was unbelievable. And when I was playing the country club this past week and standing on that 17th green, I remembered well Justin Leonard's 45-footer for birdie and the celebration that occurred right afterwards. It was unbelievable. And the country club of Brookline is just so rich in history and USGA significance. The U.S. Open, which will be played there June 16th through the 19th, will be, have been there for the fourth time. The very first back in 1913 when 20-year-old amateur Francis Ouimet pulled off the biggest upset, just incredible upset, defeating Harry Hart Vardon and Ted Ray to win the title. And Francis Ouimet lived right across the street, in fact. They pointed out his house to us as we were playing, and his improbable win really became one of the biggest underdog victories in all of sports. And the U.S. Open is just that, very open. You can earn your way, if you're good enough, into the championship through qualifying rounds. So it's really open to anyone who's good enough to get there and play. And certainly that historic win by 20-year-old amateur Francis Ouimet was just something that was absolutely spectacular. The Country Club of Brookline will be hosting its 17th USGA Championship overall. And just to be in that clubhouse is so special. It's so full of golf memorabilia. It's like walking through a golf museum, just so full of rich history. Just, I love that feeling when you're in some place that just has, you know, decades and decades and decades of golf history, memorabilia, and it's just so special. They also hosted the 1932 and the 1973 Walker Cups, as well as, I mentioned, the 1999 Ryder Cup. And so many Massachusetts State Amateurs and Massachusetts State Opens and all those USGA championships. So it's such a prestigious part. It's actually one of the founding member clubs of the USGA in the late 1800s when the USGA was founded. They had the U.S. Open Championship trophy on display at the country club. In fact, I put my the gloves on that they provided to, you know, touch the trophy, and I held the trophy for some photos. And a few years ago, they brought the championship trophy to the Ann Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic when it was played at Atlantic. And, you know, it was a big hit. The golfers just loved it. They posed for pictures by it. And, you know, it really created a fun kind of buzz, you know, as they were previewing the U.S. Open. And the tournament was in early June. And it was just perfect to have the U.S. Open trophy there. All right, so from the media day, the U.S. Open media day, by the way, John Rahm, who had just won the Mexican Open, obviously the defending champ of the U.S. Open, he won last year when the U.S. Open was at Torrey Pines, he was supposed to have been on a phone call, a Zoom call, But I guess he got tied up with traveling issues and after winning the Mexican Open. So he couldn't join the media session, which was unfortunate. But anyway, John Rahm is the defending champion, and it should be a great, great championship coming up in mid-June. So then the Travelers Championship Media Day was this past Tuesday at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut. The Travelers Championship will be played the week after the U.S. Open, June 20th through the 26th. And they always have a fun-filled week of activities for spectators and players. And it's really become one of the favorite PGA Tour events amongst the players. The Travelers just know how to take care of the players and spectators and the volunteers, and they just hold so many cool events the whole week of the Travelers Championship, including a concert on the weekend, and it's just a really great golf course for spectators and to play. Very exciting, the finishing holes, and each year they attract the top names in the game. Rory McIlroy committed very early, Brooks Koepka, Bubba Watson, Xander Schauffele, world number one Scottie Scheffler, Masters champion, will be there. Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Joaquin Niemann, Will Zalatoris, Abraham Anser. I mean, they get the top players in the game. And so impressive, since the tournament's inception in 1953, the tournament has donated more than $44 million to charities in the surrounding communities. So I can't say enough about the Travelers Championship. They just do a great job, and it's Connecticut's only PGA Tour event. So if you get a chance, go on up and support the event. It's so much fun to be there. It's kind of an intimate feel to it, you know. You feel like you can get really close to the players, and everybody's so friendly and so happy to be there. So it's just a feel-good week. Really, really a lot of fun. And then the third media event this past week was held to preview the Founders Cup, an LPGA tournament, which will host the top women in the game. And that's going to be played May 12th through the 15th at Upper Montclair Country Club in Clifton, New Jersey. That tournament is so special because it honors the LPGA's 13 founding members, the original members, and such a great idea to pay tribute to the special women who founded the LPGA. Upper Montclair Country Club has hosted all three professional golf tours. They even hosted like an NFL tournament there years ago that I remember. And it's just a great venue. It's an A.W. Tillinghast design that underwent a major renovation in the 50s by Robert Trent Jones Sr. Very special layout. I'm so glad the women will be playing it in the Founders Cup. So definitely go and support the Founders Cup, the LPGA event that's in New Jersey coming up. All right, well, this morning I will share a heart-to-heart interview that I had with Maria Ochoa, who is the wife of PGA Tour player Camilo Villegas. You remember Camilo Villegas from Colombia? He's still playing on some sponsor exemptions. He's been playing five straight tournaments, actually, currently. And he's the one that got into that, you know, Spider-Man pose to read the greens. Just a very entertaining, dynamic player. And he has four PGA Tour wins. He's won all over the world and has a lot of different international victories as well. Well, heartbreaking story. They lost their two-year-old daughter, Mia, to brain and spinal cancer in 2020. It was just a very difficult interview to do because it's such a heartbreaking tragedy to talk about. But in a very inspirational way, Maria and her husband, Camilo Villegas, founded Mia's Miracles Foundation to help families going through similar situations that they went through. And I think you'll find my conversation with Maria very uplifting, even though it's just so sad to think about her losing her two-year-old daughter. But what they've been able to do, you know, to and deal with this tragedy and help other people going through similar tragedies and difficulties. It's just incredible when you hear about their work with the the Mia Miracles Foundation. So you won't want to miss that interview. And then another very important interview, Randy Wyatt, who is the co-founder and CEO of SkinView, S-K-N-V-U-E, will join me. And he talks about his nonprofit that promotes global awareness and early detection of skin cancer. It is so important. One in five people will develop melanoma by age 70. When detected early, survival rate is 99%. And here's a stat that's just alarming. More than two people will die of skin cancer in the United States every hour. Well, May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and as golfers, we're outside really most of the day, right? We face significant risk of developing skin cancer with this lengthy sun exposure. So I can't think of a more educational interview. And, you know, we need to learn how to protect our skin and the early signs of skin cancer. So please tune in for my interview with Randy Wyatt, co-founder and CEO of SkinView. Welcome back to the show, Maria Ochoa. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to meet you. And well, let's dive right in. In July 2020, you and your husband, PGA Tour professional Camilo Villegas, lost your 22-month-old daughter, Mia, after she battled brain and spinal cancer. And I'm just heartbroken for you both, as the entire golf community certainly is. And I just wanted to first express my sympathy and see how you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We are, of course, heartbroken. You know, grief is something that you never completely heal from it, but you learn and you grow a lot from it. So I am, you know, growing and healing, and but we're also enjoying our beautiful baby boy. He's 4 months old, Mateo.
Oh, congratulations, Mateo. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so we're staying in the present and being grateful to have Mateo with us, and always grateful to have had Mia with us.
So where do you get your strength, Maria? You and Camilo have been so inspirational in how you've been dealing with the loss of Mia. It's such a tragic loss. There really are no words to express how heartbroken we are and how much you feel.
Yes. Well, you know, people always ask me that, where do I get my strength from? And honestly, it comes from, of course, from within. I think in reality, it comes from love, from God, especially. And, you know, it's from Mia. She's my, you know, my little angel. She lights my path, as I always said. And I promised her that I was going to honor her life. And part of honoring her life is enjoying our life and being happy, because, you know, we know she would want us to be happy. And so, yes, I have like this strength that comes from the deep love we have from her. And when you go through like experiences like we went through, you learn to appreciate the little things in life, and to be grateful for I mean, so many things. But yeah, so I think that's where my strength comes. But I also have really, really hard days and moments, and I allow myself to go through them when they show up.
Well, tell us about Mia's Miracles Foundation, because I know you really wanted to help families with young children who are going through what you both went through. And the second part, to recognize the frontline heroes who help them, which I think is amazingly noble. So tell us about Mia's Miracles Foundation.
Of course. So Camilo and I, we always knew that we wanted to do something in service of our communities. And previously, we had established the Camilo Villegas Foundation. But when we went to the hospital with Mia, I knew that our mission, God has given us a mission. And that's when we said, okay, we're going to change plans. And it's going to be the Mia's Miracles Foundation. And we want to help children and families that are going through similar situations that we went through. So that's our mission, you know, to help, to be there for them. I know from personal experience, I mean, we were in the hospital with Mia for about 4.5 months. We never really left the hospital. We were always with her. So with that experience, I really got to know, you know, like what families go through. And we were very lucky because we had a lot of like great health insurance. And then we also had great support from our families, emotional support. Mia at the time was our only child, so I could be with her 24/7. And this was all during COVID, so Camilo wasn't playing golf, so we could be with her the whole time. And during this time, I realized that I wanted to be there for other families and for children and bring joy to their life. And joy, you know, for them shows up in different ways, but sometimes it's financial support to the families, sometimes it's activities for the children, sometimes it's therapies that are not covered by the insurance. So we have many different programs that we work, but they're all focused on supporting families that are, you know, going through such hardships.
Just an incredible idea. I think both you and Mia are truly angels. And I know part of the foundation I was reading also recognizes the frontline heroes who help.
Absolutely. Yes. They're amazing. I mean, and the nurses, as I said, because we were there 24/7 for almost 4.5 months, I really got to know them and they got to know us as a family. And I got to see the what they go through. And, you know, these people, they care for our children with so much love and they get emotionally, you know, attached to some of them. And they become like, for the parents, they become our friends. They become, sometimes they have to be like our therapists because we you know, we go through so many emotions and they're there to support us. And I wanted to give back to them in a way. And when I asked them, they said that they would love to have a place in the hospital where they could like unplug for even like 10, 15 minutes where they could like either rest or, you know, have like that, we call it the serenity space. And they told me, we want to like recreate the energy that you had in Mia's room. Cause like, so Mia's room, I made it. I was like, okay, she's going to be here. This is going to be like her, not home, but kind of. So I made it happy. It was all about rainbows. I always had like the oil diffuser music. So they would call it like the spa. So they were like, we want that energy. So I worked with my friend, interior designer, Amy Lee, and she helped me like recreate like a serenity space for them. So there's like chair massage, foot massager, oil diffuser, and it's like a very zen place for them. And we have that partnership with Nicklaus Children's Hospital, and we're going to have 6 serenity rooms on each unit for the different, you know, for oncology, for PQ, for all the different neurology, NICU.
Which hospital is that, Maria?
Nicklaus Children's Hospital in Miami.
Oh, wow. That is wonderful. You know, I don't talk about my personal life too much on the radio, but 24 years ago, I founded a foundation called the Anne LaGore Foundation, where I raised money for cancer research. I lost my dad when he was 63 to cancer. I was in college, and a year and a half later, my brother passed with leukemia. He was only 22. I can't imagine what it is like to lose a child. I know my mother did, and we just lost my mother last year. She was 95. God bless her. But I really believe you can't do enough to work to raise money and awareness like you're doing for cancer research, for all these amazing causes, as you say, to help these families, because, you know, we are fortunate. We, you know, we have health insurance and we have emotional support from our loved ones, but it's still, I mean, it is so difficult. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of my dad and my brother and my mother. And I have a cousin who died of cancer. Cancer has hit so many of us directly or indirectly. And I just don't think you can do enough to try to fight the and help the cause.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And first of all, I'm sorry for your loss. It's and the way you're honoring their lives too. It's beautiful. And then, you know, one beautiful silver lining about this whole thing is like you get to meet a lot of people that heal through helping others. And that is really amazing. But yeah, I mean, there's so much work to do. It's overwhelming when you start to think about it, like, how can we change, you know, how can we? And so to me right now, I said, I'm going to do what I can, right? Because I cannot change the world, but I can maybe change the life of people that I have around me, or at least try. And, you know, that's what we're doing. We're trying to make the world a better place. And we're trying to be there for others the same way as others were there for us when we needed it.
I know you're working with Royal Albatross, which is a premium golf and lifestyle brand. And how did you connect with Alex Bartholomew, the founder and creative director of Royal Albatross? And how did this rainbow-inspired shoe in Mia's memory, how did that all come about?
Yeah, so they reached out to us when they found out about our story and Mia, and they were inspired by her, you know. It's so beautiful. Like every time, all the collaborations we have had, they happen so organically, and they're all moved from love. You know, she's a mom, so of course, like we all, you know, connect in that way. And they reached out to us. They wanted to do the shoe collaboration, and then we started working on it. And the result was absolutely beautiful. And thanks to them, we're gonna be able to support families and to, you know, continue with our mission and honor Mia's life.
I know a percentage from every shoe that they sell will support Mia's miracles. And if you want any information, or if you care to make a donation, you can go to Mia's MIAS-miracles.org. And it's just so admirable how you and Camilo are handling this and all the support you're giving to so many people, Maria. So let's shift gears and talk about your husband. Now, you know, Camilo, he has, boy, what a career he's had on the PGA Tour. He has 4 wins on the PGA Tour. He's won internationally. He's won in Japan. He's won in South America. I know you both met in Colombia. You're both from Colombia. When you were, did I read 12 years old?
Yes. Yeah. So we're from the same city and like same town. We had friends in common since we were, you know, super young. So yeah, I've known him since we were 12 years old. Yeah.
Do you play golf as well?
No, and I still don't play golf. But I enjoy watching Camilo. But yeah, you know, we've known each other forever.
So his last victory came at the Wyndham Championship back in 2014. And it's so great to see him playing again. I know he's gotten some sponsor exemptions, and he's been playing 5 straight weeks, right?
Yes. Yes. He's playing 5 weeks in a row. This is his third one. So we should have him back in 2 weeks.
Ah, so yeah, he's been on the road, but at Harbortown, he made the cut, which is great. The RBC Heritage, he was tied for 59th. He finished at even par. Then he played with Kyle Stanley in the match play in New Orleans, and he's going to be in Mexico this weekend.
And it was really fun because we were with him in Hilton Head, which is a place that I love. And we brought the baby, so we had a good week that week.
How has he been able to focus on golf? Because, dealing with such tragedy, it's so difficult. You just really have to pull that strength from above. How is your husband being able to focus and play golf again?
Well, for Camilo, I've talked about healing mechanisms and tools, and golf has been that for him. Camilo is a really, it's a hardworking man. He's very disciplined, goal-oriented, and golf, I think it's like the place where he goes and he like focus and he doesn't think about anything else other than like the goal he has in his job. And so in a way I think it's like a safe place for him to go, and it gives him like that peace when he needs it. So yeah, and I mean Camilo is incredibly disciplined, as I said, so he's always in working mode.
So, what did you first think when you saw his Spider-Man style of reading the greens before he putts?
Well, yeah, as I said before, I'm like not like the most like super golf knowledgeable person, but I thought it was really cool. And he's like a very, he has a very athletic body, and he can, he's been to yoga with me and he does a better job. So yeah, I mean it's pretty cool. He doesn't do it anymore because now it hurts his knee a little bit. But yeah, it was a very unique move from him.
It certainly is a signature style. And I understand that he is a workout fanatic, that he has said his mentor and inspiration is Gary Player.
Yes, for sure. Gary is amazing. I mean, Gary has more energy than any 20-year-old that I've met. And he's been a great inspiration for Camilo. Camilo, yes, he's crazy about sports. He loves cycling. He loves working out in the gym. Here where we live on the water. So he goes out on the paddle board all the time. And of course, golf. So he wishes he had more time to practice more sports.
Well, you and your and Camilo are, as I said, are such inspirations to so many people. What comforting words can you share before I let you go for other families who may be going through similar situations as what you both went through?
Oh my gosh, it's hard because we all get comfort in different ways, but I will say trust the process. It's so hard. It's really hard, but once you find that peace within and that I guess God has given me is to trust the process of my daughter's life, and know that she's forever with me. She lives within me. And so I guess, that's my comfort. I always say she didn't go anywhere. She's here with me.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Maria Ochoa, my best to you always. Please tell Carmelo we said hello and give Mateo a hug from me,
No.
would you please?
Yes, thank you so much.
And all the best with Mia's Miracles. Once again, the website is MIAS-miracles.org. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to welcome Randy Wyatt, the co-founder and CEO of a foundation called SkinView, S-K-N-V-U-E, a nonprofit that promotes global awareness and early detection of skin cancer. Randy, so good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Anne. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to tell the story and get people interested in their skin wellness.
Absolutely. It's such an important issue. I've read some stats. 1 in 5 people will develop melanoma by the age of 70. When detected early, survival rate is 99%. And more than 2 people die of skin cancer in the United States every hour. That is some scary, scary statistics.
Yeah, and I'm afraid since the pandemic, you know, people have not gone to see doctors a lot. I'm afraid that number might climb. That's one of many reasons that I started this organization, this nonprofit, so that we can educate people about the importance of early detection, make people aware of things like 2 trips to a tanning bed increase your risk of melanoma by 75%.
Wow.
2 trips, 5 sunburns during your life increase your risk of melanoma by over 50%. I mean, it's just, you know, we need to teach people, all people, because 70% of people don't go see a dermatologist for preventative care, and they really need to. And then SkinView, you know, so we were partnered with a lot of different companies, other nonprofits, to get the word out, you know, sun protection application through clothing, through product, you know, spray on sunscreens, whatever sunscreen. We teach people the right way. We're partnering with dermatologists. Some of the top dermatologists really get what we're doing. It's hard to get in to see a dermatologist, though, for a lot of people. You know, there are many parts here in the U.S., the disparity in numbers, you know, they don't have a dermatologist in a 300-mile radius. So with telemedicine, we're working with a group right now working on an app. This is a leading company. It's called Meta Optima, and they're the global leaders in a platform that hosts the technology dermoscopy. Their platform actually does total body photography. So it's a test that's done as a standard in the rest of the world, but here in the United States, for a couple of different reasons, there's no reimbursement for it here. So that's one of the reasons that it hasn't been widely adopted. It's gaining popularity because it saves lives.
Randy, and yeah. It's just really what a breakthrough it would be for the general population to aid in the prevention and early detection of skin cancer. It's actually designed to stop the global skin cancer epidemic, raising awareness about sun safety and regular skin checkups. So how cool is that? You can have an app on your phone, which will enable anyone to track their skin conditions, capture imagery of spots of concern, and you can share that imaging with your medical team.
Exactly. It's our app is non-diagnostic. So I want to be really clear. Our app is, you can do some skin imaging to kind of, you know, send it. It is set up to do telemedicine. So it's also partnered with Meta Optima's main product called DermEngine, which exists in dermatology offices. But they've got telemedicine, or, you know, telehealth, teledermatology built into their program. Ours connects to that. So there's a streamlined approach to, you know, teledermatology to support our product and to get people to the right care.
Which is so important. As you say, a lot of times you cannot get an appointment with your dermatologist for months. And what if you have, you know, a skin issue that needs to be looked at immediately? The sooner, obviously, early detection is key. So to have an app like this, I would assume, would just help get it to the right people to at least look at it.
It's a stepping stone to the right care. So for that 70% I talked about that don't go see a dermatologist, we're getting it in the hands of people. You know, we're focused on golf, but we're spread out. You know, golf is not the only place we exist. We're getting it out so that people can become educated. You know, there's two sides to the app. There's one that does the imaging and sets up a virtual consult with a qualified dermatologist. But the other side is all kinds of information that teaches people not only what skin cancer is, because most people are aware of skin cancer, but it gives definitions. It gives pictures of what these lesions actually look like. So if somebody says, huh, you know, a mole that's one color, nice smooth borders, all that good stuff is probably nothing to worry about. But if it changes, and that's the one thing I tell people, change is the significant thing that should lead you to get it looked at. Any change. I talk to people all the time that say, oh yeah, I go see my dermatologist, and I ask them a couple of questions. I said, number one, when that dermatologist, when you go to get your annual exam, do they have you disrobe down to your underwear, and do they check behind your ears and in your hairline and in your nail beds? Sadly, you know, half the people I talk to say no. You know, dermatologists, I don't have a good reason as to why that's not done. It's, you know, it has to do with training, and but it's becoming more prevalent in some of the younger doctors coming out of medical school with their dermatology degree.
So tell me again, where are some of these unusual spots where skin cancer can turn up? I know, you know, if you forget to put sunscreen on your ears and you're out playing golf or doing anything outside all day, that's, you can feel your ears burning up. So
yeah. Yeah, one of our board members, Richard Reynolds, he's helping us out with a lot of grants and fundraising. He had his entire right ear removed.
Oh, now it's
been rebuilt, but that's exactly it's an example of what can happen. But it can happen on the bottom of your feet. It can happen in your nail beds. It doesn't always look like a mole. 30% of melanomas happen outside of a mole. Sometimes it looks like just a little red bump or a white bump or a black bump, but it changes. And, you know, the skin is the largest organ on the human body. Skin cancer is the fastest growing cancer of any other cancer, yet it is the most curable. So we're trying to change that, you know, landscape of how people look at it, what people know about it. It's an easy thing for anybody to do. So that's why
we've been in the healthcare industry for 40 years. So
yes,
tell me how you got into creating this foundation and your personal reasons.
Well, my personal reason, I had a good friend that I've been, he's been a colleague for many, many years. He was trying to get in to see a dermatologist because he thought he had something going on. And it took him almost 6 months to get in to see a dermatologist. It ended up being squamous cell carcinoma, and he had it removed. But it's a painful experience to have that removed. I mean, you know, if you can avoid surgery, if you can even avoid a biopsy, like you just mentioned that you had a couple spots just burned off, and that's preventative care that's very effective very early on. And a trained dermatologist can recognize that and, you know, alleviate that going any further than it does. But because you've had it there, that's the spot you need to look at. So anyway, getting back to the story is, you know, I started a for-profit company to begin with that actually uses dermoscopy to do what's called total body photography. It's a baseline study of somebody's skin. And working with a company that builds the platform, Meta Optima builds a platform called DermEngine that puts these total body photography. There's several different poses, but the next time you go back, when you get another one, it recognizes every single spot, whether it's changed or not. It recognizes if there's a new spot that wasn't there in the previous scan. So it's just a great technology that many dermatologists are starting to use. It's used as a standard of care in Australia. The number one incidence of melanoma happens in Australia. They use this technology on everyone. And it's been very, very effective in actually decreasing the mortality rate, where here in the United States, the mortality rate is climbing.
Oh, that's not good to hear.
So urgency for people to know, that's why SkinView's around, to teach people the importance of early detection, to teach them all about what skin cancer is and how they can protect themselves and their loved ones. You know, this interview, I've been doing a few interviews, and I say to everybody, I said, you know, because of this interview, we effectively may save lives. And that's a great thing.
Definitely. So how does one prevent skin cancer, Randy?
So wearing the right product every single day and reapplying that, especially if you're going to spend extended periods of time outdoors, wearing the proper clothing, you know, wearing long sleeves, hats, you know, there's different things that you can do. So I think what you can do is just by being aware and getting your skin checked with a qualified dermatologist that does the right things, that, you know, that does the total body photography, or at least does a total body screening of any spot on your body that you may not see.
And this is where my own personal plug comes in as the global ambassador for IB Cool Athleisure Wear, IBKUL. This athleisure wear has 50 plus sunscreen properties in the fabric. And I honestly, as I was telling you before, I wear long sleeves. It doesn't matter how hot or humid it is. This fabric is very lightweight, very cooling. It has an ice fill cooling technology, which actually cools your body a couple degrees when you're out in the hot sun. Nice. And I wear pants, long pants. I try not to expose any of my skin to the sun. And as you say, you know, you have to put sunscreen on your ears and really on your hands and fingers and places that you wouldn't really naturally think about, right?
Exactly. You know, and a lot of athletes don't like to wear sunscreen, especially when they have to hold something in their hands. It's a greasy palm for golfers. We work with a company. Can I mention their name?
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. So Jeff Kletter with BU Sunscreen. It's just the B and the U, the two letters. He has developed a product that is a spray-on, a very fine mist spray-on that is non-oily, no alcohol, PABA-free, all the good things, mineral-based product. And that's the thing, you know, if you want to get a good screen, make sure that it's mineral-based. Those are the better products to go for, or the mineral-based products.
And the fact that it's a spray-on, I love BU sunscreen, because obviously, you, as you say, you don't want to get your hands greasy and wet.
Yep.
That's why a lot of golfers may not want to apply sunscreen, but you can spray it on, and it gets basically in every spot you need to cover.
Exactly. You don't have to rub it on or anything like that. It actually, some people have a tendency to rub it on because it looks a little shiny, but in 2 to 3 minutes that glean is gone and you're protected. And you know, it comes in 30 and 50, because really the only difference between 30 SPF and 50 SPF, 30 SPF protects your skin up to 96.7%. Okay. If you go to 50, it protects at 97.8%.
Oh.
So it's really not that, you know, that much more. If you were in 70 or whatever, that's really a waste. You pay more for it. It's kind of like with, you know, vitamins and things like that. You know, you don't take more to get better.
Right.
It's so those are,
so
those are two things.
30 sunscreen protects your skin.
97.6, I believe.
0.6%.
Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Jeff could tell you it's right in that range. Jeff, right. Jeff has it.
So 50, you're saying 50 sunscreen SPF isn't that much, very slightly different than 30.
Very slightly
interesting.
Higher protection.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, I know, Randy, you have, you know, a lot of high profile LPGA players on your board, including Nancy Lopez, Dottie Pepper, Julie Inkster, Helen Alfredson, and former LPGA commissioner Charlie Meacham is on your board as well.
And Andy North, two-time U.S. Andy Open North. Champion winner. Yeah, he's on our board as well. Yeah. And
so how are these people helping you with SkinView? What are they doing to help?
Well, you know, they have a microphone and a platform that I do not have. You know, so all of those people, well, all of them except, I think, Julie. I don't know if Julie's had a skin care. I know she goes to see a dermatologist on a regular basis. But Nancy, Dottie, Charlie, and Andy have all had melanoma, and Helen as well. They've all had issues with skin cancer, had spots removed. Charlie's actually had Mohs surgery a couple of times on his head because he always wore a visor, never a full hat. You know, that's the other thing. Lots of golfers like to wear visors. the sun is, you know, people just don't know everything. You know, a cloudy day does not mean you get to skip the sun, the sunscreen. You know, the number three city in the United States for melanoma incidence is Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Because people don't think they need to wear sunscreen, but the UVA and UVB rays that get through, and those are the ones that cause the most damage. They come through the clouds, sometimes with more intensity. You know, it's like in Denver. Denver has high because the altitude and because snow, even during the wintertime, it reflects those rays. You know, all of that stuff is important to know, but it's not something why we always think about when we go out.
You're absolutely right, Randy. I mean, all this education is just priceless. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, if it's not sunny, I'm not getting too much sun and I don't have to worry about sunscreen. But you're absolutely right. Even on rainy, cloudy days, and as you say, particularly and when you're skiing, all that reflection from, you know, the bright snow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really have to, things that you don't even think about. You really have to be educated about all this to protect your skin.
And that's why we're, you know, spending a great deal of time with youth. Most of the damage that's done that leads to skin cancer, most of it is done before the age of 18 and shows up later. Just like a lot of the things that we do earlier in life, you know, we end up having issues with it later in life. Well, skin cancer is one of those things that we do a lot of damage when we're younger.
You know, we were just so ignorant about the sun years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, in my college days, University of South Florida, I did not do this, but, you know, students would be leaning against the table with those reflectors trying to get sun on their face. I'm thinking, that is so weird. Why are you doing that? But, and then as you mentioned, people would go to these tanning booths, and they still do, have no idea how dangerous that is for your skin.
Yeah, two trips to a tanning booth increase your risk of melanoma by over 75%. Mm-hmm. And people there's a lot of people that start to get a little embarrassed, like, oh my gosh, you know, that's another reason that Portland, Oregon is number one. That I think they're one of the biggest markets for tanning beds in the U.S. because, you know, people want to be tan. So, you know, being tan, does it look good? Yeah, I guess, but it's, you know, it's just everything about our society, you know, what we say is good isn't necessarily, because I mean, you're a fair skinned person, Anne.
I am.
And, you know, blonde hair, that's the other statistic is our misunderstanding is a lot of people of color think that they're, you know, they're really not that susceptible. We had a young gal that plays for the LPGA, Tiffany Joe. She's actually moved on to teaching now, but she had this spot on top of her head that she just didn't pay attention to until one day a girlfriend was helping her with her hair and said, you need to go get that looked at. She went to a dermatologist. She said, yeah, you know, we'll do a biopsy, but you're darker complected. It's probably nothing. Well, it was melanoma in stage one.
Gosh.
So she had it taken care of. She's fine. But, you know,
girlfriend was helping her with her hair that day and actually noticed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been stories. There was a story on the wire a couple months back about a fan at a hockey game saw somebody's head, got their attention, said, you need to get that looked at. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great story.
I mean, yeah, these things happen all the time.
That's a sign from the heavens. That is God kind of like interfering and saying, here, I'm going to help you out. Well, I know May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, Randy.
Yes.
So what are some of the activities you have planned in May to help educate people about skin cancer?
Well, last year we launched our Skin in the Game campaign.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
And that's an ongoing. So, you know, put your skin in the game by telling your story. So we're going to be doing interviews with people who have had melanoma, prominent people like our board members, people on the streets. We've got a couple big events here in Southern California. We're just gearing up. We just officially received our 501c3 a couple months ago. It took the IRS 15 months to get us through that process. So, but you know, now that we're, you know, fully fully authorized and everything. Not that we were worried about that because we knew it was going to happen, and that's just part of the process. But we'll be at events in up in Hollywood. There's a couple big events for that. We'll be at Payne Stewart Kids Golf Clinics, teaching kids, young kids, the importance of sun protection. We're launching our program with the Girl Scouts of America so that they can get service patches through fulfilling a few requirements on sun protection so that they can do that. So we're young, but we're passionate about what we're doing, and we're joining with several other nonprofits that concentrate on skin cancer research and awareness. And I know you have a foundation that you work with that is with cancer. We would love to partner with you in any way that we can to get the word out. I can send you some materials electronically. You can, you know, do email blasts to people just to start educating. I would love to become a partner with anybody and everybody. But Anne, thank you for that offer to do that, because we'd love to have you join us in our raising awareness in the month of May and our skin in the game campaign. You could tell your story and because people, you know, people here listen to you. And you've got a microphone and a platform that SkinView does not have. So through our partners, we're going to raise awareness.
Well, absolutely. To educate everybody and raise awareness is so important. Our charity golf tournament this year is Thursday, September 22nd at the Maidstone Club in East Hampton. And our mission is for cancer research. So, you know, everything awesome you're doing here totally fits into our mission of educating people and, you know, about preventing cancer. And you know, you just can't do enough. I mean, as you said, I wear a visor and now I'm going to wear a regular baseball cap because I'm fair skinned and, you know, I get sun on the top of my head. And, so even I'm learning more and more as I talk to you, Randy. So I can't thank you enough. And I'm going to see you June 21st at the Met Golf Writers National Awards Dinner at Westchester Country Club. I can't wait for that.
Oh, that'll be great. Yes.
I appreciate you coming on the website. Your website contains a lot of educational information. It's www.sknvue.com. .org. So SkinView, it's SKNVUE.org. And Randy, thank you so much for everything you're doing and continue the good fight, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anne, for the opportunity. You have a great day, great week, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Randy Wyant, co-founder and CEO of SkinView. My thanks to Maria Ochoa, to Randy Wyant, to Mike Goodsound Production, and to Delaney Hefner in the studio. As Vince Lombardi once said, perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. I love that quote. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe, be kind. And I look forward to talking with you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.